Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. You're listening at CindySheehanSoapbox.com or CPRMetro.org. Well, this is Valentine's weekend, and I think that the highest form of love is love for all living and breathing creatures. And so this week I'm going to have on Bob Linden, who is the host and producer of Go Vegan Radio. Bob Linden has been vegan for 29 years. He's an animal lover and self-confessed dog spoiler. He's a host and executive producer of the listener-supported nonprofit production Go Vegan Radio. So stay tuned and we'll be right back with the very eloquent and passionate Bob Linden. Bob Linden, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Well, thank you so much, Cindy. It's great to be with you, and it's Valentine's Day, so it's great to be with somebody I love so much.
Aww.
Yeah, it's terrific to talk to you today. And I have the other love in my life, Daisy, the rescue chihuahua, the rescue vegan chihuahua on my lap here. So we're having a happy Valentine's Day. She's the love of my life.
Well, speaking of Valentine's Day, that's why I wanted to have a show this week, and I want to apologize to my listeners because they won't be hearing this till Sunday at the earliest, but it is Valentine's weekend that I do have laryngitis, so Bob's going to do a lot of the talking today. I just want to apologize if I don't sound that great, but that's why I wanted to have a show with you on it, because you know, it's about love of all creature, all the life on this planet, not just the human life. And so, Bob Linden, you are the host of Go Vegan Radio, a show that I've been on.
So I'm told, yes, so I'm told.
Yeah, a show I've been on many times, and I want you to tell my listeners about Go Vegan Radio and why you started it.
Okay, well, I'm sorry for your laryngitis, but I've had a lot of practice talking now. I've been doing Go Vegan Radio. I've been doing Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden now for 13 years.
Wow.
Yes, amazing, really. I sort of expected it to last 2 or 3 weeks. And I mean, this is on commercial radio. It started on a right-wing talk station in Los Angeles in January of 2001. And I thought once they heard the subject matter, compassion for animals and urging people not to eat them or wear them or buy products tested on them or attend entertainment that uses and abuses animals, I thought I had about 2 weeks on the air since I would be insulting most of their advertisers, the meat industry, the pharmaceuticals and all. But apparently, you know, the owners of the radio stations haven't listened yet, so we're on for 13 years, and it was on Air America while Air America was in existence, and actually on CBS and Clear Channel radio stations, and now it's nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network, the same people who syndicate Alex Jones and Mancow, and I guess they wanted to have somebody out on the air there that made them look normal, and they call me the first. They call me the first food show on the network, and oddly enough, I never really thought about it as a food show, but it is about everything. And really, it came to be. Well, I had a real career in radio, actually as a program director for many years around the country, and I was able to manage music radio stations, but there was no need for me after consolidation and deregulation allowed one company to own 5, 6, 7 radio stations in one city. When I get into radio, you could only own one AM and one FM, and it was always somebody in last place, so you could approach them to try to do something creative on air, musically, and otherwise, and make things happen that way. But so, when the radio industry didn't believe me, that left me with my animal rights activism. And part of that was, well, I started a vegan festival in Los Angeles called World Fest. And when I was going around to different radio stations promoting WorldFest, there was a producer at KRLA who said, well, you have a background in broadcasting and your interest is animal rights. Shouldn't you be doing a vegan radio show on air?
Mm-hmm.
And in the back of my mind, I always thought maybe I would do something on television so that I could hold up, you know, a container of cow's milk, you know, cow's milk bad, and hold up soy milk, you know, or rice milk good.
Uh-huh.
So the soy milk is organic, you know, made by Monsanto. She said to me, well, there's an hour available on the weekends. We have to charge you for it. So go see if you can find some advertisers to cover it. And I got on the phone, and within a couple of weeks, I got myself in enough trouble to get a commitment to pay for airtime. And I've had to do that, most of the time that I've been on. Well, in the 15 years, had to pay for radio airtime, if I were a program director, back when I was a program director, we regarded the airwaves, we were public trustees of the airwaves and would put on programming of interest to the community for free.
Right.
But that changed because of deregulation and consolidation. So it's, here, Bobby, pay for an hour. Just like the mortgage salesman pays for an hour or the, you know, the shampoo, you know, the commercial product. So
right,
became,
the vitamin companies.
You know, a vegan infomercial in
right.
a sense. To me, it's, well, there's nothing more important than promoting veganism. If I do it on the street and do a megaphone, people go by and they say, you know, hey, get a life, get a job, you know. But if I do it on the radio, they say, hey, did you hear what the guy on the radio said? You know, that animal agriculture causes at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. Really? We didn't know that. So there's a certain credibility to being on the radio, and even real radio or terrestrial radio, even though it seems like a dinosaur now and anything elsewhere on the Internet. But we're in the modern places, too, on the smart radio apps that... Stitcher.com/govegan and archive shows on the website goveganradio.com. We just every week, and now it's expanded to 2 hours, and every week I'm doing a live show from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Sundays, and people can click listen live at goveganradio.com, and they can also, there are hundreds of archives to hear, and they can just if they're interested in a guest, for example, they can just put in Cindy Sheehan and search, you'll see all the shows that you've been on, many times.
Well, Bob, you know, we've chatted about these things a lot, but usually I'm the interviewee. But, you know, I see things on Facebook all the time. I see things that people are upset because of Copenhagen Zoo. They're killing giraffes to feed the lions, which would be happening in the wild, by the way, if the animals weren't in zoo jail. But they don't talk about the animals being in zoo jail. They just talk about the giraffes being killed to feed the lions. And then they're upset about the dogs being killed in Russia. And these things are things that people should be upset about. But I always ask them, well, you're upset about the giraffe being killed. Do you eat cows? You're upset about the dogs being killed in Russia. Do you eat pigs and chicken and things like that? So what do you...
And that's why I love Cindy Sheehan so much, because you have the right perspective on things, you know? I mean, we were looking at hygiene and the dolphins, and, you know, I mean, that's terrible and so upsetting and it's so dramatic to see the blood-red water. But then people go and, you know, they have a hamburger and they have this little blood-red river dripping down their chin, you know? They call it juice, but let's face it, it's really blood, you know? And there are so many things we can't do in the world. We can't seem to have an effect on a government that's totally, you know, unresponsive. But there's something we can do personally. If we are peace activists, we can do the greatest action that we can for peace and go vegan, you know. If we're upset that somebody's killing animals, we can remove ourselves from that equation also, because, you know, if we're eating meat, we are complicit in murder. As much as society really wants to hide it from us, but it is it's unnecessary killing. In fact, it's harmful killing because it causes disease. And, you know, I've come, and it's very strange because, I mean, I grew up eating meat every day of my life and never really predicted in the future that when I grew up I'd be a vegan taco host. And, you know, I won a hamburger eating contest when I was 16. I ate 30 White Castle hamburgers. But one night when I was in college, I was having friends over. They always came over on Friday nights, and I made a chicken dish with an apricot glaze. And but the one night I was cooking the chicken, and the chicken wasn't a cutlet. It wasn't a round, nondescript food item. There was a body in the pan, and I was staring down, and I said, "You know, somebody suffered really violence and was killed for me to be eating." Now I know prior to that I thought, well, the animals must know that they're here to feed us, right?
Right.
I thought, well, then the chicken didn't jump into the frying pan, the chicken didn't volunteer. And I stared down at the pan and I said, I don't think I can eat animals anymore. And everybody thought I was crazy because I was the first vegetarian or whatever that meant that I ever knew. I was engaged to a butcher's daughter, and my future ex-mother-in-law was yelling at me, "You're going to die if you eat like that."
Mm-hmm.
And even at the time, I thought, well, maybe it will be detrimental to my health. But what can I do? I can't participate in the violence and the killing. So I decided, okay, that's it. And then I thought, well, what do I eat? I'm a vegetarian, and people were saying, oh, okay, well, now you eat eggs and you drink cow's milk.
Mm-hmm.
And even at the time I thought, well, maybe the oceans are here to feed us. We don't see the faces, you know, on scallops necessarily. You know, but then, you know, you think it through and it's, you know, all the fish are suffocating. And then I finally found out about the cruelty of dairy and the egg industries. And actually, Cesar Chavez, the great vegan hero, said that if you're moving in this direction for compassionate purposes, you get rid of dairy and eggs first. And, oh, once I found out about them, it was, okay, well, that's it. No animal products. I have to be the pure vegetarian, which is vegan. And I don't want to eat them. I don't want to wear them. I don't want to buy products tested on them. And I don't want to attend any events that exploit them, like the circus.
Right.
But it turns out that, you know, after being vegan so long, you get this strange perspective that meat and dairy are responsible, meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption are responsible for everything that's wrong in the world, you know? And you know, I started off as a peace activist, you know, an animal-eating peace activist, I was in Stuyvesant High School in New York City, and we got up and we marched against the Vietnam War. We marched down the Long Island Expressway and closed that down, and looked at the violence in our lives then, and I'm still quite anti-military. And then I run across quotes like Tolstoy saying, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields. And we see that wars are fought over resources like land and food and water and oil. And as it turns out, this very greedy appetite really fills the world with blood. And if we're against war, we don't even notice the war on animals. That's 6 million terrestrial animals are killed every hour. And that doesn't include more aquatic life. You know, concerned about the food in the oceans having to catch instead of the animals humans eat. So, yeah, it's really quite amazing the effects the consumption of animals has on us. It's wrong. It's violent. And we fight wars over resources, and we're all concerned about water right now, especially in California, even though it doesn't feel like it because we had a little rain last weekend.
Right.
But we're in the worst drought ever in California in recorded history. 62% of the land mass is extremely dry in California. The snowpack is 20%. Everybody's talking about climate change. And we're all looking for big answers where we need the government to spend trillions of dollars to create a new infrastructure. And yet, World Watch Institute scientists, climate specialists tell us that animal agriculture is responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. And that we need an immediate shift of 25% from animal agriculture products to vegan products, really, to address climate change. The most practical way to do it is that shift. And we could all be a part of it. We don't have to ask the government to do carbon credits and things that we don't understand and will never happen. You know, just amount to more money on Wall Street for whatever reason. You know, if we want to save the world, we go vegan, you know. And in looking at water, for example, well, so the average meat eater, the average flesh eater needs, well, you and I, Cindy, have saved between the two of us over the last year, we have saved 620,000 gallons of water in the food growing process, because we as vegans just need 10,000 gallons each to grow our food, and a meat eater needs 320,000 gallons. So we save 310,000 gallons ourselves, and we can feed 32 people to one meat eater. And this is information from the Stockholm International Water Institute, which also says that it requires 8,500 gallons of water to produce a pound of beef. So if you have a gallon jug of water there, unless you want to waste that to the equivalent of 1 pound of beef, pour that down the drain today and then every day for the next 22 years, and there's your pound of beef. Drought-stricken California.
Right, so. And there's so many ways that the food, the meat industry destroys our environment. Just like how many acres of rainforest are destroyed every year to graze cattle?
Right, right. That's, you know, if you're against deforestation, you have to go vegan, because the forests are mainly chopped down to graze cattle or grow soybeans to feed cattle. And then indigenous people are chased off their land,
right,
you know, to run, to go to the city for a life of poverty, you know, so while Monsanto prospers. So, yeah, so it's everything from deforestation, desertification, soil erosion, I mean, and resource depletion, you know, in terms of water, it's half of all water usage, half of all water pollution. So, I mean, what a mess, you know, and it's unnecessary. I mean, it's so harmful because it causes heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes. So eating animals and their secretions and excretions eating them is just so harmful. It's not necessary, but it's harmful. G. Colin Campbell in the China study, that's the largest study of diet and health ever. And he's been on my radio program also, and he has said that at least 90% of all fatal degenerative disease is caused by animal protein, and not much of it. And the dairy protein is the number one carcinogen to which Americans are most exposed. So, you know, how do you get your protein? I think the question should be more, how do you avoid your animal protein? And, you know, protein, you don't see vegans crawling around in the gutter, you know, protein,
yeah.
protein deficient diseases. And animal agriculture is poison with the use of antibiotics, and people are ingesting them, and then we're getting super, but I mean, it's just so filthy. Look at Foster Farms here in California, poisoning people all around the country because, you know, an animal body is not a clean product, you know? I mean, when you're cutting someone open and the insides are, you know, flying all over the place, you wind up with the salmonella and listeria, kind of that thing. You know,
and they're feeding
people covered.
They're feeding their animals parts of sick other animals, you know, and that's just so unnatural and scary, you know, to what if people like don't care about animals, if they think that they're dispendable and edible, don't they care about, you know, their own health and what the animals are eating? And the meat industry doesn't go and it doesn't even contribute to alleviating starvation, because a lot of those animals are fed food that we could be eating instead of eating the animals.
Right. Well, I mean, if all the grain fed to animals were diverted to people, world hunger would be over immediately.
Right.
But I'm not suggesting that we feed people or we continue to feed the animals the grains that they are fed. They're fed Monsanto,
right,
GMO corn,
right,
and GMO soy. So,
right,
I mean, people who are against Monsanto, you know, the animals and animal products you're eating, you know, you are what you eat. You're a GMO experiment yourself from what's being fed to animals. Oh, GMO. So they were looking for a way to discard the chicken poop also. So that's fed to cows. Chicken poop, you know, looks flavored with maple syrup.
Yikes.
That's mixed in. Yeah. So it's really disgusting. But, you know, really, I mean, my mother loved me very much. You know, she would do anything for me, but she fed me the standard American diet of death, you know, the menu of massacre. And had she known better, I'm sure we would have all been vegan. And today we do know better, you know, and all the studies tell us, you know, all the health studies tell us that meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption is detrimental to our health. So what parent would want to poison his or her child? We know this information. Now it's our responsibility to act upon it, to go vegan. And it's not a very mystical world per se. I mean, people eat vegan foods all the time. People have had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches,
right,
in their lives, you know, pasta and marinara sauce. And, you know, I mean, just Google, you know, vegan recipes and all, the world of food is really, it comes from fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, seeds, legumes, beans, you know, and that's the key to health and happiness. And then, you know, it removes you from the guilt of paying somebody behind windowless walls to do the most incredibly atrocious things to beings, and it's just unimaginable, the mutilation, the suffering that goes on. You know, but the animals have to pay, you know, I look at being vegan in terms of social justice issues.
Absolutely.
So, of course, you know, peace and nonviolence. What about female exploitation? You know, I mean, with the poor cows, they look at their rape. Are we against rape? Well, if we're against rape, we have to be against consuming cow's milk, because that's the start of cow's milk, so that a baby is born, so that the baby can be kidnapped. What are we doing to a mother kidnapping her child? I mean, there's nothing more sad. I mean, look, you know, look at your loss, the loss of a child to a mother, and they are wailing for their children. But,
yeah, there's much evidence that animals and the chickens, they mourn the loss of their babies. There's so much evidence about that. It's just really tragic and sad. Well, Bob, I've been a vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, you know, for a long, long time, several decades. And when I first started, of course, it was like, oh boy, salad. I get to have some more salad. Now it's much easier since you've been on this path and since you've been doing this show. And I'm running into way more people who are becoming vegetarian and then becoming vegan. Or, you know, first, the first step, I think, for most people is to cut way back on meat and poultry and fish consumption, then all meat and fish and poultry and whatever, and then they go vegan. Are you seeing victories in that? Are you seeing progress?
All the time. In fact, now I'm doing a regular weekly commentary on KPFA, the Pacifica station in the Bay Area, Wednesday mornings in the 8 a.m. hour. I'm hearing from people who are going vegan just from listening to this 4-minute commentary because, I mean, it's all the information. You know, once the information is presented, it's so logical that, in fact, I wish that would have happened to me. I wish somebody would have presented all of this to me. But, okay, now people get the benefit of my feeling my way around in a really non-vegan-friendly world where I didn't even know tofu existed. And, you know, there might be one kind of vegan cheese out there years ago that was just so awful. But every 6 months, I would try it again to see if they improved it. And they didn't. But I still try it every 6 months. Now, there's a vegan grocery store in the Los Angeles area. It's Viva La Vegan. There's a vegan chain of groceries in Europe now. 6,000 vegan items there. So all of the comfort foods are available in vegan form now. Burgers, hot dogs, ice cream, yogurt, whatever you want is there. 6,000 vegan items in this store. And so it is really easy to go vegan, but I would hope that people would get both a sense of urgency about not wanting to continue to be an oppressor. In other words, if somebody were telling me, if I'm doing something and it's hurting somebody and killing somebody, I have to stop right now. I can't wean myself off. I can't say,
right.
I'll continue to participate in rape and murder, you know, for X amount more time now. You know, I mean, it's like, if I'm a rapist and murderer, I didn't know it, but find out I am, whoa, I have to stop now. And the other thing is, like, to get totally grossed out by it and to worry, you know, to, you know, bad cow disease is a reality, of course, but, you know, not something else, which is a total secret in this country. But one bite of a hamburger, can lead to mad cow disease in the future. So does a parent want to take that risk, you know, or do you want to get a vegan burger? Yeah, you know, so, and the E. coli, whenever meat is recalled for E. coli, it means, well, it's fecal covered. They can't keep the poop off the meat.
Right.
So can we get grossed out by what's on the meat, what's fed to the animals? Can we get grossed out by the idea that we're consuming a decomposing cadaver? What are we doing eating corpse? I mean, are we that strangely primitive to be eating animal sacrifice? We're eating body parts, you know? And flesh, by the way, we're so upset that people are blown up and body parts are everywhere. We're eating them.
Mm-hmm.
And flesh is flesh. There's a serial killer in Canada, Robert Keaton. He was a serial killer of women, and he's also a pig farmer, and occasionally he would mix the flesh for people to eat. Did anybody know the difference? Did anybody say, oh, this tastes different, this tastes strange? Nope, didn't happen. Flesh is flesh, you know. How are we flesh eaters, you know? I mean, if you have to say, okay, this week I'm going to try being vegan Monday, you know, but please, the next week, take it. Add Tuesday through Sunday, you know, for the animals, for yourself, for the planet.
Okay? Absolutely. What do you think about McDonald's being the official restaurant of the Olympic Games? You know, to me, it's like having Budweiser being the official drink of the Little League World Series or something. It's like, it's terrible, but like somebody on my Facebook wall today said, well, I don't usually go there, but if you want, like, if you're in a hurry, I said, what's faster than grabbing an apple and a handful of almonds? You know, why are you going to go to McDonald's? First of all, you have to go to there. You can't just, like, it doesn't magically appear. You have good, healthy food. you should have good, healthy food just right there. But so McDonald's is the official restaurant. I think it should be the official restaurant of obesity, hypertension, cancer, type 2 diabetes.
Well, it is. And child abuse, you know, when you have that clown with the playground enticing children into being, you know, like, hey, let's kill animals and call it a Happy Meal.
And toys,
you know?
In the Happy Meal. I tell my grandkids it's a crappy meal. Like, Gigi's never going to buy you a crappy meal, so don't even ask me.
Couldn't be more said.
Yeah,
and there's the power
terrible.
Of money, right? There's the power of corporate sponsorship, and a world turned upside down by it. You know, that McDonald's would it's the antithesis of health and certainly what athletes should be eating. I mean,
right.
More and more we're seeing the accomplishments of vegan athletes. I just had a couple on my show, from Australia. They're in their 60s. She was condemned to die of breast cancer by her oncologist in a few months, 10 years ago. And so this couple in their 60s, vegan couple, just, I think, did the most amazing athletic accomplishment ever. Not only did they run a marathon, they ran a marathon every day for 366 consecutive days.
I read about them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there they are. Then you have Patrick Baburian, who is a powerlifter, vegan. He just set the record for lifting over 1,200 pounds. The Williams sisters in tennis are unbeatable. They're vegan. Last week I had, and I guess you'll be back on my show this week with the archives at GoVeganRadio.com, Phoebe Johnson, who is vegan all her life. She is a vegan skier. The first African American Olympic skier at age 14, and she's been vegan all her life. And yes, we're pointing fingers, by the way, at Russia for everything that's wrong with the animals there, killing all the stray dogs. But remember, you know, it's what's happening here too. You know, like this, you know, we were upset with people when they eat dog in Korea and China. But, you know, as you said, we're eating cows and pigs and chickens and all the other animals here too. And it's Valentine's Day weekend. You're looking for love in all the wrong places unless you go to the shelter. Like, then you're guaranteed love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not really guaranteed love when you go to the bars. You know, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. Love is at the shelter. You save someone's life. And it's really love for life. So we need to be talking about paying and neutering, of course, and adoption. It really is about loving animals, or at least respecting their right, you know, to live and not be used. I think the idea is that we also have to advance to a position where we don't think of animals as property, to be owned anymore. They are their own beings. And it's funny how, you know, I mean, in terms of, again, social justice issues, we're against sexism, racism, and homophobiaism, and we should also include speciesism in that. And look at how speciesism clouds our thinking, even in our language.
Mm-hmm.
When we're ready to go to war with someone, they're suddenly animals.
Right.
You know, what they're doing is they're animals, or they're rats, they're pigs, they're snakes. You know, that's how we make them somehow subhuman. I don't know how subhuman the animals actually are, really. When you consider they don't engage in the kinds of destructive behaviors we do, like war, you know, they're at the Olympics, look at all the humans, but the animals are actually better athletes than humans. They run faster, jump higher, they're stronger. Yeah.
Well, I don't like it when people call cops pigs, because I always say, when's the last time you saw a real pig, like pepper spraying somebody or beating the crap out of somebody until they went into a coma and died, or just shooting somebody, you know? When's the last time you saw an actual pig do that? Why are you denigrating pigs by comparing them to such violent, inhuman behavior? Or maybe just violent human behavior, you know?
Exactly. Well, in my mind, I get confused because then it's like they're complimenting the person they're trying to insult. You know, like, why are you elevating the person?
Yeah, aren't pigs like actually like really smart and?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, but the thing is, like, they're all smart in their own ways. They communicate in their own ways. You know, they don't have to do calculus, and you know, they have their family structures, and many animals, you know, mate for life. You know, look at the divorce rate, you know, and you say, well, you know, they mate for life, you know, they're so caring for each other, you know, they care for their children, you know, so, we think we're the superior species, you know, we come at it that way, and so, you know, have expressions like, oh, you know, there's more than one way to, you know, skin a cat, you know, it's like, well, who cares? I mean, I didn't even care for one way or,
right,
you know,
exactly.
or you know, killing two birds with one stone. Oh, that way we'll kill two birds with one stone. I don't want to kill
any birds. I change that to feeding two birds with one worm.
Oh, can you make it one, like, because the worm, I'm concerned for the worm.
Oh yeah, I know.
With one scoop of peanut butter?
But that's natural. That's what they would do. That's what they do in
nature. Let's let them do it. Let's take that.
Feeding two birds with one sunflower seed.
Peanut butter?
One sunflower seed.
I have said like pull two carrots with one tongue, but I don't know if that's, I don't know if that is, but see, that would be a problem for me. If I had to care for a snake, for example, how would I feed a mouse to a snake? Yeah, you know, that happens in nature, but, you know, I don't want to be put in that position. You know, whenever we watch, animal programs on TV and we see, the prey being pursued, you know, kind of root for the prey, but
I know I can't watch that.
We don't want the predator to starve either.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
But we are messing up the natural ecology so much that you know, it's really hard for wildlife to function. I mean, we clear the land; it's all ranchers' rights. We are poisoning wildlife. The USDA. It's poisoning wildlife throughout the West. It's actually involved in the sale of banned poison. You know, I mean, it's just so corrupt. And it's all doing it for the ranchers, you know, clearing the land of horses and other wildlife and predators, all for the ranchers. You know, they really came here. Meat really rules, you know.
Well, Bob Linden, thanks so much for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. And can you tell my listeners your website one more time?
Sure. The website is goveganradio.com. I'm also on Twitter at goveganradio and Facebook, goveganradio with Bob Linden.
Well, thanks so much for the work you do for everybody, Bob, for peace and for animal rights and human rights. And it was great to talk to you, and happy Valentine's Day to you and your the love of your life there.
The little rescue chihuahua. Thank you so much, Cindy. You are a true world hero. I love you so much for what you've done and what you continue to do. So thank you.
And congratulations for keeping Go Vegan going. I know how hard that is, but you are tireless working for our animal brothers and sisters.
Yeah, well, I love animals, you know, I love them. So, and you know, if people love animals, I just suggest that they stop eating them, stop wearing them, stop buying products tested on them, and depending entertainment that uses them.
Okay, great. That's a great place to finish. So, Bob Linden of Go Vegan Radio, again, thank you so much for being on the show, and it was nice to talk to you again.
Thanks, Linda.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, that's the show for today. I hope you learned something, and I hope you were inspired to check out about going vegan. And it does really correspond to our work with social justice and peace. So again, I'd like to thank my engineer, Don DeBar, and he's our connection with CPR Metro. He works really hard on these issues also. And I'd like to thank Bob Linden for being my guest and for being very consistent and dedicated to our animal brothers and sisters. And I'd like to thank you for listening and supporting the show. I'm Cindy Sheehan, vegan and host and producer of Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Peace out for now.